In our weakness, we do err. In the way of the flesh, but we're the first to know it. We don't have to wait for somebody else to come and say, well, you've run wrong, you've erred, you've went astray. We're the first to know it. And we'll feel the chastisement of Lord God in heaven upon us, that where that we become repentant, exceedingly sorrowful, and we fall down before Him, crying, O Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Have mercy. May the Lord God of heaven bless you and keep you, I pray. You go ahead and read this.
One times.
Well, I think the time's about used up, Brother Clyde. We had we're going to speak about the atonement. Brother Joyce mentioned that word in his discourse in the 5th chapter of Romans. It's the only time the word is used in the New Testament. It's used many times in the Old Testament. And the Apostle Paul says in the 11th verse, that says, speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And the word atonement is used in conjunction with the word reconciliation. The atonement means to be at one-ment with God. It's through the shed blood of Christ that He made the atonement. We were justified before God the Father by the blood of Jesus Christ. The reason animals were slain for those 1500 years was that they might obtain blood. It took blood to atone for sin. The reason why it took the blood of Jesus Christ to atone for our sins is because the blood is the life of the body. And being condemned for sin, our life is required. The judgment of God is that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so you can see the connection between, if the life of the body is the blood, then the shedding of the blood portrays death. Death is separation. When you die, your soul is separated from your body. When we die in sins and trespasses, we're separated from God, separated from His love and favor. And so it's needs be that we have, in order for us to be reconciled unto God, in order for us to be brought back in favor with God, atonement must be made. The word atonement speaks of sin in three different ways. God is the author of the universe, the creator and maker of all things. It pleased Him when He made the world and all the creatures of the world, that each and everything had its seed in itself. And everything in this world is replicated by the seed of its own kind. And it pleased God to make it that way. That's the law of nature. And when God's creature sinned and transgressed against Him, we became indebted to Him. And the debt has to be paid, but man has nothing to pay it with. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so how can the debt be paid? There must be, if blood is to atone for sin, and our blood is tainted with sin. It cannot atone for sin. So he provided a sinless blood in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it might atone for sin. Also, we became estranged or alienated from God. And the scripture says a carnal mind is enmity against God. It has become hostile towards God. And it distrusts and disbelieves God, the carnal mind, because of sin. And so we have become estranged. And in order to be reconciled to God, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and he is our peace. And he has done away with the enmity between us and him by the body of Jesus Christ. We are dead to the law under which we stand condemned. We've broken the law, and we'll stand condemned under the law. We're under the curse of the law. And so, Jesus Christ, because God loved sinners, sent his Son. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And when he came when we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. We were ungodly. We were without strength. And so he sent his Son to die for the ungodly, for those that were without strength to atone for themselves. And so Christ came to put away sin. And so he says, now we have received the atonement. Also, we have committed a crime in that we have disobeyed God. The atonement views sin as a crime also. Not only are we indebted to God for not fulfilling the law that he gave us and living in a way that he told us to, but we have violated his person. God is a person, and sin is personal. It's one thing, I might be in debt to you for $5,000 and can't pay it. Maybe I borrowed the money from you, and my brother could come and pay the debt, and you would accept it, and the debt would be paid. But if I broke into your home and knocked a hole in your wall, or broke open your drawers, dresser drawers, or somewhere the money was hid, and destroyed your property and stole the money, my brother might come and pay the $5,000 back, but there's a crime been committed, and that would not pay for that. And so we are criminals before God, as well as in debt to him, as well as being estranged. We are rebels. We are rebellious criminals before a just and a holy God. And that debt has to be paid. God is just. He will not overlook sin as we do in our children. He cannot. God cannot lie. He is holy. The attributes of God are perfect. He is perfection personified. So he cannot condone sin. It must be paid for. He will not sweep it under the rug. And so he has laid our sins upon his own son. Christ is not only our priest, but he is a victim of the justice of the law. He suffered in his own body as he hung on the tree. And he gave his life. He is our high priest. The high priest offers up sacrifices. So he offered up a sacrifice, and the sacrifice was himself. So he is our high priest, and he is our paschal lamb. He is our sacrifice. And he is without spot, and he is without blemish, and he is without any mark or default. He has no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He is a perfect Savior. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Christ says, Apostle Paul said, by whom, by Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Have you, by faith, received the atonement? You know, that's a very pertinent question that every soul will have to answer someday. Jesus Christ is the only atonement acceptable unto God. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. When we think there are multitudes of men standing in pulpits today all over the land that have not received, they're preaching in the name of Jesus Christ and have not received the atonement that has come by him. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and that God is his Father. They do not believe that. They do not believe in the wrath of God, that there is a hell where sin will be punished eternally. In that same scripture, he says that death. Sin reigns unto death, but grace reigns by righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not just life, but eternal life. There is eternal life and there is eternal death. There is eternal separation from God by each and every creature, moral creature that has sinned against God, and his sin is not atoned for. He will be eternally separated from God. But by the gift of God's love and grace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received eternal life through him. Grace reigns through righteousness by eternal life. By Jesus Christ. The first man sinned, and because the law of nature was in that man, the seed of all mankind was in him. When he died, we died. It pleased God to make it that way. It pleased God, who is the only creator. Nobody else has ever created anything but God. He created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. And he created all the animals and all the herbs and all the trees and all and men and angels. And as far as man and the earth is concerned, he has put the seed within itself. And when Adam sinned, all of his seed and posterity sinned. It was passed to them just as some awful disease. And so by one man, death is entered into the world, and by death, sin. Now, if you don't believe, you may preach from here to go listen to men preach from here to eternity, say, do not believe that there was an actual man lived named Adam, and that is just a figure, that there was not such a man as Adam and Eve. But how do they explain sin? Where is the person that escapes death in the grave? Sin, because of the first man, Adam's sin, death reigns. And death is passed upon all men, seeing that all have sinned. But the second man, who is a quickening spirit, the second Adam, who is a Lord from heaven, through him righteousness reigns unto life eternal. And so all that Adam represents as if their federal head, sin has passed to them. All that Christ represents, righteousness has passed to them. And by one man, many were made sinners. By one man, many are made righteous. The question that we need to answer is, seeing that we are sinners by nature and sinners by practice and sinners by choice, have we received the atonement? You know, it's ever since 1957, is when I trust that the Lord brought me to my senses, made me aware that I was a sinner and condemned. And I had no excuse and no escape. And it, since that time, it has amazed me of the people that seems to be unconcerned, are not even aware that they are sinners. They say that, well, I'm not perfect, but I've not done so and so. We were quick to point out the things that we have not done. And men will say that Jesus Christ was a good man and that he was a prophet. And many men who worship God in other religions acknowledge that. But they have wrought out a way themselves whereby they think they are working their way to God. They say there's many roads to God. And to say that there's just one way by Jesus Christ is very obnoxious and offensive to them. They say that especially the fundamentalist Christians that preach that are the most narrow-minded people in the world. But nevertheless, if there was a man named Jesus Christ that lived and walked on the face of this earth, he was either who he said he was, or he was a great deceiver. And the question is, we have witnesses. It's a matter of recorded history that he lived, he died, and he was crucified on a Roman cross. He raised from the dead and ascended back into the heavens out of sight in the presence of 500 witnesses. It's a matter of recorded history. And by the grace of God this morning, I believe he was God's son. He was the sent one. And if not deceived in my heart, some almost 30 years ago, we received the atonement. We crowned Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our heart. We crowned him as God's prophet, priest, and king, as the only mediator between God and man, as the messenger and the mediator of God's covenant, the one who came and fulfilled it in every jot and every tittle and didn't fail in any wise. He fulfilled it all. He satisfied the justice of God. He fulfilled the law to the satisfaction of his Father, and he raised him from the dead, and he exalted him to his right hand, and he is now over all powers and principalities and dominions, visible and invisible, in this world and worlds to come. And in the second psalm, he said, "Now ye kings of the earth, be wise, kiss the Son, lest his wrath be kindled a little, and ye shall perish in the way." Be wise and kiss the Son, lest his wrath be kindled just a little, and ye perish in the way. Christ came the first time in humility. He was dumb as a lamb before his shearers as they led him to the slaughter. He openeth not his mouth. But when he returns the second time, he's coming in great power and in great glory. He's coming for his purchased possession, and he's coming with his mighty angels in flames of fire, declaring vengeance on them that know not God and believe not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the New Testament. Beloved, we believe that this is the Word of God, and that he has now made the atonement in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing, as the ungodly in this world love to make fun of sacred things and holy things. They love to make jokes about heaven and holy things. But the scripture says in one place, woe unto them that laugh. Beloved, we take this to be a most solemn and serious matter. We believe that God will judge the world by this man, Jesus Christ, whom he hath appointed. And every knee shall bow, and every head shall bow, and every knee shall bend, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And I'm thankful this morning that by his marvelous grace and mercy, if not deceived in my heart, that he brought me to the place years ago that I gladly bow my head and bend my knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's God's dear Son. And his name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's all that a poor sinner stands in need of and all that my soul longs for. I feel like that every need that I, as a sinful man, will ever need has been met in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's sufficient to deliver me from my wretched self, this body of death that I dwell in. And on the morning of the resurrection, he'll speak. And if I'm dead and buried in the grave, it'll come out of the grave, just as Lazarus did. And the grave clothes, I'll not be bound. The grave clothes will be gone. And we'll stand as a monument of his mercy and grace throughout all eternity, singing the wondrous praise to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the eternal God, the everlasting God, who doth inhabit eternity, and who is the only true and living God, and whose Son is Jesus Christ, the husband of his church, the one that the bride longs for, the one that Solomon said, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on the arm of her beloved? This is his bride. This is the friends, he said, in whose house he received the wounds. When this ass says, how come these wounds in thy hand? He said, I received them in the house of my friends. He loved sinners and he died for them. And he was wounded for their transgressions and bruised for their iniquities. And he's delivered us from the wrath of God and the curse of the law, from an eternal hell and the judgments of a just and righteous God. If there's no hell, beloved, why did Christ die? What did he deliver us from? If there's no judgment to be delivered from, why did he die? To deliver his bride from the consequences of sin, which is death, hell, forevermore. May the Lord add his blessings to his precious word, and may he mark it in our hearts, that we might live in this world in such a way that we'll love him and serve him and be little monuments of his mercy. I feel so small sometimes. I think that life, my little life, could not be worth anything. There's so many people in the world, and there's so many accomplishes great things. And yet, my prayer is that my life might be just a little light, a little flicker of a light somewhere to the testimony of his marvelous grace and mercy. Just a sinner saved by grace, if saved at all. And I know you feel the same way. And it's a privilege to be able to assemble with a little group of his people from time to time that's able to bow down before him, to humbly praise him and thank him for his tender mercies and loving kindnesses. Oh, how great are his mercies to us. Oh, how great is his love and his grace. It's past, it's unsearchable. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. It's past finding out, and his judgments are unsearchable. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath given unto him, or who has been his counselor at any time? There's none, beloved, there's none. He is sovereign God, creator, of the earth and of providence. He is the God of providence and the God of all grace. May he add his blessings to his precious word. Let's sing. Does anybody have a hymn in mind that they would love to sing? Number what?
Let me make my answer.
Go right ahead. Let's sing 100 and then we'll make the announcements. How's that?
Okay.
And the appointments and so forth. Okay. Sing number 100. The doors of the church are published open. If there's one or more that would like to, that has a hope in their bosom that Christ has died for you, you feel to be a sinner, and you believe in his atoning grace, and you would love to call for public baptism and join his church, well, we'll give you that privilege while we assemble together.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the
according to the purpose of the will of God, I hope it's that way. little church in Charity, which is up above Fashon Park up in Virginia. And they've called this under the worm of the dust to serve them on the third Sunday and the fourth Sunday of each month, two Sundays in a row. And I've given a hearty welcome invitation to one and all to come and visit with us as often as you can. Well, that little body up there was a body that was founded for 214 years ago. It's one of the oldest churches, primitive churches in this country. And it's still a remnant. We don't have an exceedingly large congregation, but there's a remnant there. God has kept that body for these 214 years for a remnant. We have seen so many different ones that get set up. They don't last for just a few years and they're gone. But this would surely feel that he must have been a planting of God's hand. Because he's kept a remnant there for many, many years. Come and visit with us as often as you can. We'd be exceedingly glad to see you and fellowship with you.
Lord willing, Elder Tindall will be with you. Church at Walker Cove on Wednesday night, the 23rd of this month, and on Thursday night, the 24th of this month, we'll be at our home church at Pine, and on Friday night, we'll be at Park View Church in Winston-Salem. We'll be with Go Creek Saturday noon. Are there any other announcements? If not, bow with us and we'll ask Brother Joyce to dismiss us.
Let us hear from you, Father. O gracious Heavenly and thy Father, we give thanks unto thee for this day. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that we've had to assemble ourselves together with a portion of our beloved saints. We thank thee for the blessing thou bestowed on us as while we assemble. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have had to meet with these, our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and while we yet journey in this land. We hope, Heavenly Father, and pray that you might be with us, to lead us and guide us to ways of all truth, direct our feet in righteousness, that we might not stray so far that we lose fellowship with our brother and our sisters. Go with us for the further journey of life, or how long it might be. And keep us as an apple of thine eye. And when you come in time, then we must be not this life's bread. We ask thee, Heavenly Father, that you might be with us. Overshadow us with the power of thy love and thy grace. From the depth of our heart, we might truly say, come back from death, I pray, to go with thee. For we have learned in thy word, O gracious God, the perfect love casteth away all fear, even the fear of death. Heavenly Father, I believe that I'm a poor people that feareth not death. In fact, they look forward to it. For in that sense, they realize it's not an end, but it's an opening, a gate unto a better place. Heavenly Father, go with us the further journey of this life as we leave this place. Upon the roads, keep us safe from harm. And be with us always, Heavenly Father. And keep us according to thy mercy and thy holy will, and supply our every need, according to thy wonderful promise. We give thee thanks and all thanks unto thee, Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, forsaken forever and forever.